Father, we come to you in that wonderful name given and so above every name, Jesus. And how we delight and thrill in his name. Lord, thank you that you are written upon us. And Lord, thank you that again by your grace we're becoming even epistles read of men. Thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void unto you. Thank you, Lord, for the inheritance you're building in our lives for you. Lord, thank you that it is all for your good pleasure. And thank you, Lord, that you've drawn our hearts to, Lord, to be well-pleasing to you. And knowing that it has to be Christ in us, the hope of glory. That it's Christ that lives in us that must be magnified. And Lord, it's not just a must. It's a yearning. It's a desire. It's a privilege. It's a glory. It's a thanksgiving to you, God, to realize how beautiful the Lamb. Oh, the Lamb of God. Lord, again, words fail us, and we could never express, but thank you by your Spirit. Oh, the utterance, the groanings. Lord, again, thank you for the wonderful language that you give us to just worship and adore and speak mysteries to the Father. Thank you, God, that we know that your word, hallelujah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Cause us to be a restful people today. God, let us cease from our own works and let us quit being double-minded and let's quit being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Let's settle down in the truth. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Let's turn over to Ephesians. And we'll be in the first chapter as we begin today. And got a little surprise for you, as I was telling a brother. Can you imagine we're going to speak on the grace of God this morning? And aren't you glad that's never a surprise? But yet, the grace of God is always a surprise. You know what I'm saying? And it's just such a, it's just amazing. And, you know, again, you have to think about it. In the ages to come, it's the exceeding riches of his grace. So, I'm thankful I enjoy his grace right now. How about you? Amen? And that it is our joy and rejoicing, that it's everything. Praise God. It's our song, our thanksgiving, our praise is grace, his wonderful love to us. Praise his name. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll begin reading from verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Isn't that wonderful? See, I'm not waiting to be blessed. I am blessed. And here's how blessed we are in Christ. How blessed? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We got it all. Amen. That's why it goes on to say so many other times in all the ways, we are little lords of all. The whole thing is just grow up, just know it. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know we didn't deserve it. Let's get over it and let's get into thanking him that we got it. Amen? Praise God. There we go. See, devil just wants you to kind of always ask him, well, why? Well, why me? You know, and I love to say why once in a while, but let's get over why and say, thank you, God, it's me. Hallelujah. That you have grace upon whom you'll have grace. You'll have mercy upon whom you'll have mercy. And thank you, God, for the mercy and grace you have on me. And I'm going on. Thank you. Now, according as he hath chosen us in him. See, again, in him. Yes, in him. It's Christ in you. Praise the Lord. See, that's our praise. Before what? The foundation of the world. How wonderful. For anything was made, it's all about him and us. Praise God. That we should be holy, set apart, without blame, before him. What? In love. See, not in our works or anything like that. It's just in his great love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is his height. This is it. And here we go. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Praise his name. Praise his name. And this is a stretch, but we're going to focus just on this part. To the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. And what this is saying here is by grace, and this is it. I'm telling you, you couldn't make this stuff up. Because it's just so exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But what this is saying is by his grace, he has made us graceful or full of grace, lovely, highly favored, and he takes pleasure in us and prizes us above anything else. Yes. One more time here. By his grace, he has made us graceful, lovely, highly favored, and he takes pleasure in us and prizes us above anything else. Amen. Thank you, Lord. His glory is what we are transformed into for him. His glory we are transformed into for him when we give him all the praise, praise his name, and all the glory only for his grace. And that's the truth. See, you can't get to glory without grace. There is no other glory but grace. That's why he is the God of all grace. That's why Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. That's why there is no other glory. And we glory what? Save in the cross. Amen? Well, that was the focal point, the epitome of it all. The cross. That I am King of kings and Lord of lords. Came down and descended. He just didn't leave the throne. He became as one of us and then was made the lowest of the low. And then, praise God, took upon him all the sin of all mankind. Became that curse upon the cross. Was completely given over to the clutches of the enemy for us. Grace. There's no other praise. There's no other glory. Save in the cross. The God of all grace. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Now, after we say that, I've had a couple times, well, more than a couple times, but brother, faith without works is dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, faith without works is dead. But you better know what you are talking about. Before we ever open our mouth and professing such wondrous truth, but maybe in such vile self-righteousness, we had better have the Word of God rightfully divided by the love and knowledge of the Holy Ghost before we ever begin to open our mouths. Amen? Speaking truth in love. Not speaking truth to try to magnify me or get across a point. Amen? Try to hurt somebody. Truth in love, praise God. And I'm going to ask you, since we're here, could you imagine? Would you agree that the Apostle Paul, his life testified, magnified, spoke of good works of faith? Amen? How about the Apostle Paul's life? Maybe more than any other life, obviously except for our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, any other life in the Word of God speaks of those and magnifies and testifies of good works. Amen? Amen. But let me tell you something here. Do you know how all of that faith and all of those incredible good works flowed out so beautifully and freely out of his life? I believe you do know it, but we're going to make sure by the grace of God that we know. You go over to Ephesians 2:8, and here's how it all started. Paul says here, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Some people try to concoct their good works, try to find my calling. Well, I read right here that God actually planned those out before he ever set a star in heaven and said, "Honey, all I want you to do is walk and quit thinking." Because when this goes on, all that happens is confusion and a lot of self-righteousness. Amen? A lot of trying to get ahead of ourselves, just like those brothers. "Oh my goodness, I saw the prophets with Jesus, and we're just going to build them all a tabernacle here right now." And bam, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." See, that you thought, well, that was a good thought. It wasn't a good thought. It was a wicked thought. As a matter of fact, it's a thought that goes on today to try to give some, in a sense, praise and glory to men, to saints, idols. There's only one to give glory to. There's only one, praise God, and one name. There is but one mediator between God and man. And he's my friend. He's my love. He's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it. Praise his name. Now, Paul, after he got saved by grace, he preached that grace. And one of them guys that was there with that good idea, you know, to build the three tabernacles to them all. He had some other good ideas that were really bad ideas. And his name was Peter. But Peter, thanks be to God, listened to the gospel that was given to Paul. Amen. He humbled himself under the hand of God. Not under Paul, but under the hand of God. He knew and he appreciated. He saw and listened to the Spirit and said, praise God, he has that anointing. He is bringing forth the truth. Amen. And he was the one that wrote, as Paul's life would go after, and by the grace of God, our life, grow in grace. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. You'll read about the life of the Apostle Paul. He says, "By grace I became an apostle." In Ephesians 3:7, he says, "I was made a minister." Now listen to this. "I was made a minister because I went to seminary. I was made a minister because I knew more than everybody else. I was made a minister because I was born in this family line." Nope. "I was made a minister." Listen to this. "According to the gift of grace." It wasn't just grace. It was a gift of grace. It was called double portion grace. Hallelujah. "I was made a minister because of the gift of grace that was given to me." We could go on and on about this, but we'll just jump to the conclusion of it all. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, he was brought to that place where the Lord said, "Honey, I'm going to have you boast in the things, in those good works." So in 1 Corinthians 15, he begins to boast. He begins to tell them of all of the things. See, they were arguing back and forth to see who was the most holy. Oh, who's the most righteous dude here? Who's the guy that loves the word more than anybody else? And the Lord said, "Paul, I'm going to use you to stop this right now, honey." And then he went on and he talks about his beatings, his shipwrecks, that he had died, his stonings, all of these different things. All of this that God had brought through his life, these good works, this evidence of the faithfulness and the love of God in the life of the Apostle Paul. And so sweetly and so profoundly, he gets to the end of that. And all he can say is, "Now, listen, brethren, it still wasn't me. I didn't have a thing to do with this.
It was all by the grace of God that was with me. And then he concludes it on, and he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Yeah. Oh, praise his name. See, you might be here today and you think you see grace. You don't see grace if you think you see grace. I'm just telling you. Because it's beyond. I know the grace of God. I thank God for the grace of God. But I'm just beginning to see the grace of God. And for those who might really think that they see the grace of God, I got news for you. You're going to need a body like unto his own. A body like unto his own to even begin to be prepared to get into seeing the exceeding riches of the grace of God in his kindness to us someday. Oh, you're going to have to cap this just a bit. I'll blow some speakers out of here in a minute. But really, do we want this faith and good works of faith to be evident in our lives? I believe we do. Amen. I do want that, Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. We had better know that they don't come by you. These good works, the evidence, the faith without works, they do not come by you. It is by the grace of God that performs it in you. And know this, if there is any other performing but the grace of God, it is just that. It's a performance. And it's a performance of your self-righteousness. And that's very dirty. Listen to what Paul says about grace. And I'll just give you these. It's so beautiful. And there's so much. But in Acts 18:27, you know what Paul tells them? He says, I can only help those that believe in grace. That's Acts 18:27. A lot of people say, oh, does it really say that? Yeah, it does. Paul's gospel can only help those that believe in the grace of God. You can hear it. You can read about it. You know, that's why I'm telling you. We sometimes ask, how could you read that section and not see that? Because it's not going to help you unless you embrace the grace of God. Until you can finally put away yourself and your self-effort and something that you can earn, you will never grow. Because there's one way you can grow, and that's in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said so sweetly, I help those that believe in the grace of God. Amen? Aren't you thankful you believe in the grace of God? Oh, yes. And you know what? Paul's gospel helps you. Oh, it helps me. Helps me sing with that sister that says, oh, my goodness, he's coming through the air. Hallelujah. Then Acts 20:24, Paul says, my ministry is one thing. One thing. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, yeah, I've talked to some people. Oh, you know, minister, well, you know, my ministry is very diverse. You know, it's multifaceted, and we do lots of things. Oh, my goodness, Lord, it's your ministry, and by the grace of God, may this mouthpiece only preach the grace of God. Amen. This one thing I know, hallelujah, it's just the one thing. And then in Acts 20:32, Paul, as he's spoken to these wonderful elders in Ephesus, these ones that truly are going after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, he entrusts them to one thing: grow up, be finished, be completed for Jesus Christ by the word of his grace. By the word of his grace. Again, this wonderful grace of God. Goes on in Romans 5:2. He says, you know what? You want to stand for Jesus? There's only one way. Faith in grace. Faith in grace. You don't need to put your hands up here today, but how many people failed this week? I told you don't put your hands up. But everybody did. I know you did. All did. But you wouldn't be here today if you didn't have faith in the grace of God. Amen. It's faith in grace. You want to stand? You want to go on? Faith in grace. It's like we said, aren't you thankful Peter didn't quit last week? And what was it? The wonderful enlightenment. I have faith in the grace of God. Not in me, but in his love. And that makes me want to go on. That makes me want to rise up. Even when I'm embarrassed, even when I was totally wrong, when I let everybody down, I hurt people. The greatest testimony I can ever take is the grace of God. That's why Peter's testimony was so rich and mighty, because of the great failure. That's why David's testimony was so great and mighty. After he had, an adulterer and then a murderer. And a horrible thing. And I'm sure he wanted to die. I'm sure that there was guilt at time that, Lord, just get me out of here. This is too embarrassing. I have so wronged the truth. You have been so good to my life, and I have just been such a miserable wretch. Oh, honey, now you can really magnify my grace. Now, that's not the invitation to go out there and let's go really fail bad now and, wow, look at me, I'm going to be this great, magnificent piece of grace. Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:7. He told them, not only do we begin or saved by grace, but we're finished, we're completed, we're perfected by grace. I'm telling you, I'm hearing some things again lately because it's the devil's same old tricks. Oh yeah, we're saved by grace, but you want to get perfected, you better start doing some works. You better, you know that it's the works that really perfect you. The works are the evidence of faith in grace. Amen. And it's well, again, you can't describe it, but it's the all-powerful love of the Holy Ghost. It's that transforming and changing love. Praise his name. That you don't, you rest. You don't try to strive for these things. And again, I thank the Lord for his grace for these vessels that we've seen here for years. Very meek, very quiet ones, but so powerful. Praise God in the testimony of the grace of God. I can speak of these ones like Sister McGuire. Sister Wilson, praise God, all, and so many others and things that, again, you just say, my goodness, the world just passed them by. Well, that was God's choice. People walking in here, you see the lights? Wow, I can't even walk over there. That's just so bright over there, I can't see. You know, and that's the testimony of the grace of God. That's it. It's just Jesus. There's a beauty when you just, you know, allow him to increase and we decrease. It goes on, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Only grace is what gives us always the all-sufficiency and all things to superabound in every good work. Hmm? Yeah. Amen. I see the smiles and I'm loving it. Because he's just shedding love abroad in your heart. See, it's the peace that passes all understanding. Because you see that, well, we just read just a moment ago, by his grace, he's thrown out those wonderful before ordained good works. But then he tells us here that, you know what? It's all of this always, all sufficiency, you know, always having this super abounding grace for everything good that you'll ever do in your life, which is the grace that I already put out there for all of those good works for you just to go walk in. Grace for grace, and grace for grace, and grace for grace. 2 Timothy 2:1, as he says to Timothy. And Timothy, again, you know, he's getting hit hard, and Paul was getting a little bit old, and, you know, it's just so wonderful how the Lord always encourages us on from generation to generation. He's the same, always. But in 2:1, he said, you know what, be strong in grace. Just be strong in grace. We having a hard time? Be strong in grace. You wish you didn't act sometimes like you do. You wish you didn't say some of the things you did. Be strong in grace. Don't be strong in guilt. Don't be strong in... The Lord's already worked that. When you turn to His grace, let me tell you something, there's tenderness. There's always tenderness. Because you go boldly to the throne of grace. You don't just say, well, it's the grace of God. You know, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Well, you can be thankful for the grace of God, but you sure didn't go to the throne of grace to get it. There's a difference. It's brokenhearted, but He wants you to be strong in grace. It's our only strength. Hebrews 12:28. We serve God acceptably by grace. Hebrews 13:8. It's a good thing for your heart to be established with grace. And not with meats, it says. That means works. Things that I could do, or as I was hearing a brother say today, I was ministering to a brother, and he's not going to eat this and not going to eat that. Now, I don't want to provoke anybody, as the Word of God said. If they don't want to do that, I don't want to, you know, get out my pig steak in front of them and, you know, just have a big party. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, listen to the Word of God. The only goodness there is that the heart be established with grace. And I love it. You know, we go on and on and on, but to kind of wrap this up, here's Peter, 1 Peter 5:10. Go ahead and turn there. In 1 Peter 5:10, the one that just wrestled with, again, his strength, wrestled with his goodness for so long, and so many things God brought out through him, and that he could testify of and write of the Word of God. And finally, in 1 Peter 5:10, he says, but the God of all grace. Could you just see heaven standing up and say, I know that's the Word, but look, we'll look at the one who's writing it, the one that it's coming through. Victory, victory, victory. Oh, it's the God of all grace. That's how he begins it here. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So he knew the calling. But even after that ye have suffered a while, the grace of God make you perfect. That means complete, finished, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, you know you're in grace and walking in grace and apprehending grace when you're just settled. When you just rest. When you're not striving and anxious and all of these different things. And I'm telling you, that's why, brothers and sisters, we need to live a life camped out at the throne of grace. You need to be there always. And I thank the Lord how, you know, He does. He brings His trial to draw us nigh. He, again, brings that thorn that He presses up against that bird, the thresher's breast. And, oh, the song that comes out. It's wonderful. But brothers and sisters, let it not be just in that. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm hungry or if I'm full, if I've got need or if I'm just abounding in everything and all things, just to be content with grace. Praise God. And all of that praise. It's so marvelous. Finally, even the last verse of the Bible. Can you imagine? The last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. But see, that's just it. And it is. That's just it. By the grace of God, we need to choose to remain in grace. Not depart from grace as the saints in Galatia did. As Jesus was encouraged to let Paul tell them, you ran well. You ran well. Who hath bewitched you? Brothers, I don't make void the grace of God. Paul says, I obey the truth. If righteousness came by me doing the laws, if righteousness was added to my life by works, then Jesus Christ died in vain. He finishes and he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that now you think you're made perfect, complete, better by the works of the flesh? The Bible is real clear.
Those that are going to be like him are going to be like him. Get that again. Those that are going to be like him are going to be like him. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. And I'll tell you, when we're full of grace, praise be to God, there's no room for anything else. Because as the Word of God says, it can't be mixed. It's either grace or it's works. It's either spirit or it's flesh. So by the grace of God, we're choosing and apprehending the grace of God. And in that fullness of the grace of God, there is no room for anything else but the grace of God. There's no room for anything else but His all-sufficient grace that performs every bit of faith and works in our lives till Jesus come. And someday, as was said a couple times already, then it's going to be off into the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us with a body like unto His own glorious body. So I say thank you, Lord, for the revelation. Thank you, God, for the absolute privilege and my soul rejoicing to be to the praise and the glory of your grace. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's stand and thank Him for this grace. Really just praise Him for this grace. And just lift it up and say, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Oh, my love, my life, my all. Oh, I thank you for this wonderful grace. I praise you for this grace. Oh, my love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord. I glory that my vision's been increased today, Lord. I'm there, hallelujah. I, in spirit, God, you're encouraging, Lord, that you've called me to be in that one that will descend from heaven having your glory. Oh, hallelujah. The grace, the grace, the grace that brings the glory, your glory. Hallelujah for you. Oh, hallelujah. As you said, oh, the woman, she's the glory of man. And I thank you, Lord, that you've called us into that. Thank you again that we can truly be to the praise and the glory of your grace. Lord, again, just keep us in that. I know it's your will, but in your infinite mercy to just, again, hold us in that precious place of rejoicing and standing in the grace of God. Oh, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that we can't contain ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.